I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Zucci Bang in the building. Zucci Bang never misses a meal. Look at him, man. He look like he play outside linebacker right now, man. Might need you on Sunday. Can you bump Kelsey? Hold on. Let's get the calls first. We'll get the calls. Then we get you guys on the stick, Mike. We're going to do that next. Let's get the calls here on the lines. Let's go to
We'll have plenty of time. I promise.
We'll get you guys all next segment. We're going to get you guys up. Let's go to Terrence in the North Bay. Terrence, what's happening?
Monte, Shasky, Baldy, thank you for taking my call. This is well overdue. Bonte, we're actually going to be family, man. Your dad, Brian, is marrying my auntie, Robin, my mom's sister. So we'll have to meet.
Whoa. I heard some different things, but go ahead, Terrence. We don't need to get into that right now.
You may have to update. You may have to update me, but you know, this is gonna be layered because you guys do an amazing job every Friday. Salt of the earth, Baldy. Thank you for your football knowledge and everything. You know, as far as I got a couple stories real quick. One of my former teammates, Andre Girard, you probably know him, Baldy, was drafted by Parcells at the Cowboys. Larry Allen's there.
Yep.
He's in one of his first training camp practices. They're doing a drill where they're punching and they're going down the line. And Andre's going down the line, and Bill Parcells says, "Hell no, that's not the way you do it. Larry, show him how to do it." Larry comes down the line. He gets to my former teammate, Andre. He's a rookie, brand spanking new. He does his punch, jacks him up so hard that he makes his lip bleed. and then Andre, it's his time. He goes down the line, and Larry's all the way at the end of the line. And he's like, "I'm about to show Larry." He said, "T, I gave him the hardest punch I could possibly give him." He said he did not budge, and all he did was smile and say, "I like you." And he said that was it. And then another thing is, you guys talked about Tua. I don't think we see Tua retire on his own merit, you guys. It's going to have to be the teammates. It's going to have to be his wife. My grandfather's a Hall of Famer, passed away 3 or 4 years ago. Willie Wood died with severe dementia, and I never got to ask him the question, but I just know my grandfather, even from his well years, there is no way he would have gave up everything that football was to him and his family and his life. You know, so these guys die on their sword, and Tua's going to be no different. Before I let you guys go, Baldy, you talked about Minnesota and how tough their defense is. If you were the OC, because we may see them again down the road, how would you attack them? How would you trip them up? Do we got to go no huddle? Do we have to go longer counts, more screen passes? How would you trip up their defense?
Well, 2 years in a row, you scored 17 points against the Vikings and Brian Flores. You know, so you're not putting up enough points, but you got to get the running game cranked up. And you can't fall behind against Brian Flores, because the further you fall behind, the more he's coming after you.
Let me ask you about Sam Darnold. Are we seeing something different from him in terms of pre-snap, post-snap, not making crucial mistakes? Like, is this sustainable, I guess, is the question.
Yes, because I think he learned a lot being in San Francisco last year. I mean, I think he saw what stability, what an organization does for the quarterback. He's never had that, ever, in New York or Carolina. So he saw stability. I think he really saw how hard Kyle, you know, coaches the quarterback and how you have to respond to it. I don't think Kevin O'Connell coaches the same way in Minnesota.
I like
him. The offense is very similar in some of the play actions and some of the things you're doing. The talent around him is elite, like it was in San Francisco. I think Sam is just really, he's in his prime. He's a great guy. Yeah. He's a good athlete. He's a very smart player. And you've got all the elements that are helping the quarterback out now.
They've got everything, man. Aaron Jones is running hard. It's traded for Cam Akers. That Lions-Vikings game on Sunday is fascinating.
Oh, no doubt.
Fascinating. How do the Lions recover without Aiden Hutchinson? Jared Goff going into that dome. They're going to be doing a skull clap. The horn is going to be blaring left and right. I got to get to that stadium, Baldy. Real quick, before we get to everybody out here, let's get the calls here, Shasky. Kurt in Oakland. What's happening? What's up, you're Kurt? On the roast.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be quick. There's a lot of talk about Larry Allen, and rightfully so, how great he was. But, Baldy, this question is to you. Do you have any stories, or what is your take, or have you met Ted Washington, the old D-tackle for the Bills and everything?
Ask about Ted Washington here.
Ted Washington, honestly, was a phenomenal athlete. I remember he played in Chicago for a while, the year they went to the Super Bowl. And, like, he was just a big Buddha. Like, nobody was that big and could move like that. He's just a huge human being that, honestly, like, he just ate double teams like cheeseburgers.
It's funny. His name got brought up yesterday when we were doing these tag team conversations. And I said to Bonte, I said, Sam Adams, Ted Washington, when you say those names, I envision them with no pads under their helmet because the heads were so large they could barely squeeze the helmet
on. There's no ear pads in there.
Sam Adams, you know, was drafted by Baltimore, so it was him and Siragusa inside. So I used to do the Raven preseason games thing. It was Billick's first year. So they had this scale. I'll never forget out at college, the preseason training camp, and they had a meat scale, right? And it went up to 350 pounds, right? It topped out at 350. They had nine guys on that team that pinned the scale. Adams, Siragusa, Wally Williams, Ogden. They had nine guys that pinned that. They were so proud of that.
The guy who never gets talked about, that Jamie Sharper, I thought was so good.
Sharper was a great player.
I thought he was so. Was it Bulware, the other
Peter
guy?
Bulware out of Florida State.
That linebacking core was so fast. Yeah.
That was one of the great. Is that the greatest defense you see? That Ravens defense. They were nasty. They were mean.
I mean, teams couldn't score a touchdown. I think they had seven games that year. Teams didn't score a touchdown.
Right. They were scoring. Chris
Gallagher. Like, Tennessee in that championship game, I think it was like I think Shannon had one touchdown. Like, I think it was like 10-7 or something.
They beat the Raiders like 16-3. Shannon had the 90-yard touchdown. Siragusa knocks out Rich Cannon.
I mean,
but Siragusa was a beast, though. The secondary was great. Rob Woodson was playing safety at that point.
I go to training camp one year, and Goose, I'm out of practice, and Goose isn't there. He's my best friend. We were teammates in Indy. So I go to a dorm room. And I'm like knocking on the door, and Goose answers the door in a bathrobe. I'm like, "What's wrong with you?" He goes, "I just didn't feel like it today."
What?
What? Up to it today, man.
What?
I had a big night last night, but I just like what those guys do.
That size, honestly,
I'll see you on Sunday.
A guy that size, what is he consuming at the dinner table?
When we played in Indianapolis, Goose used to fly his mom, Rose. Rose is still around. So he would fly Rose in, just before teams made lunch and dinner for him.
Right.
So he would fly Rose in, and she would cook lunch for us every day. So she had this makeshift kitchen in our facility on 56th Street in Indy, and she'd be making the pasta, and Goose would be in there leaving the meeting, making sure the sauce was all right. It was more important that Rose fed the team.
That
was unbelievable.
That's unbelievable. You're listening to 95.7 KGMCFM. Today, she was San Francisco at Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Real quick, Justin in Daly City. Let's get him on here. Justin, what's happening? Shotgun Berkeley? Shotgun Berkeley's on. All right, let's go to our main man, Shotgun Berkeley.
What's Shaka?
Happening?
Hey, man, how y'all doing, man?
What's up, Shaka?
Hey, man. Baldy, man, I just want to say this, man. You have so much energy, man. You have somebody sitting on the edge of their seat on the radio, man.
All right. That's what it's supposed to be about.
You remind me of John Madden. You're the closest thing that we have to John Madden, man, because you make everything fun, man. It's like the story about BYU and LaVell Edwards, you know. Just it makes, you go back so far with
it. Thank you, Sean.
You know? And the thing about Shanahan, I want to say, when Steve Young beat Dallas and he won the Super Bowl, he got that monkey on his back. That's what I think Shanahan is going to have to do.
Yep.
And I hope, I'm a big time Minnesota Vikings fan, but these two guys up here, man, they make you root for the 49ers, man, because they are die-hard San Francisco fans, man.
No, but listen, it took Bill Cowher 15 years to win a Super Bowl in Pittsburgh. It took Shanahan all those years, Oakland and Denver, to win a Super Bowl with a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, it's just sometimes you just have to break through before they give you your flowers.
There's no doubt. We're going to take your calls and your questions coming up here on the other side here. We got a lot going on here. Niners and Chiefs. Baldy, the modern-day John Madden, the closest thing to John Madden. That's what Shotgun Berkeley just said. Give us some love here. We got Baldy.
How was the food from Jax?
How's the food from Jax? Well, nobody said anything. Everybody's ready to take a nap.
That's how good the Bulls were.
Yeah, I mean, you guys want to do the last 45 minutes? I want to eat a little bit more. All right, we got Spinotti. We got about a minute to the break. about a minute to the break here, Sunday. I can't wait. You know what? Let's Ben got a question for one of you. Who wants to step right up to the Stick Mike and Ask Baldy Anything before the break? Hop on up, George Kittle. Name, where you're from, and Ask Baldy Anything.
Is that
anything.
A Local 38, Muck?
Yes, it is.
Oh, let's go, Plumbers. Let's go. Local 38, our group.
What's your name? Where you from?
Jacob from Castro Valley.
Let's go.
I love that.
I do work for Local 38.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah, my whole family's in there.
Refrigeration mechanic.
Yeah, yep. Baby, let's go.
You make a lot of money,
man. Drop you. There's no drops with UA 38. Our pipes are tight.
It's an honor to meet you.
Thank you, Jake.
Listen to you guys all the time. I wanted to ask we've seen success with Jimmy G in Shanahan's system, and then we watch him go to the Raiders, total flop. You know, and we hear all this criticism from Brock Purdy. When I watch, you know, I feel like I'm seeing something different. Like he's the real deal, and I think he would be it would be a whole different conversation if he was drafted in the first 10 picks,
no
like
question.
A Caleb Williams or a Bo Nix. But I wanted to ask you, in your professional opinion, when you watch him play, do you feel like he's the real deal, or are you just seeing another 49er QB?
No, great question. It's a great question, Jake.
Great question.
Look, it's still out there. I don't understand it, honestly. Like, I talked to guys that really understand the quarterback position, Troy Aikman, different guys, Greg Olson. Like, I've talked to different analysts about him. Like, I don't get any of the hate, and I don't get any of the doubt. And when they just say it's just a Shanahan system, well, every system involves making reads, looking at the defense, pre-snap read, like, you know, knowing where the open receiver is, and then being able, and they love to attack the middle of the field. And like, you know, they got a quarterback in Philadelphia that refuses to throw the ball in the middle of the field. Like, it's too dangerous. But like, his ability to layer balls over the middle to a streaking Ayuk or Debo, whatever, like, it's unmatched. And his ability to create offense is fantastic.
No doubt about it. That's Brian Baldinger here. He's here all day long. He's calling the game on Sunday for Westwood One Sports. We got everybody here. We're going to have everybody get a question, get some burritos here. We're live in the sales conference room. We should do this every day. I like this. Guru's wearing this. How about Guru's sweat over here? Pink and blue. What are you going to church? Quarter zip. What's going on here? Baldy, break down the outfit here. Give me a quick breakdown of the outfit.
Big stripes. Big stripes right there.
Big stripes.
Big stripes. It makes them look it makes them look wider.
Yeah. And we know Guru doesn't like that, man. He's got the waist, so look at the hair.
Oh.
Goose, I mean, the lighting is crisp.
He's clean, man.
Very clean
look, man.
You got to give him some hope, too. Give him some love, because his Cowboys just got trounced by the Lions.
Oh, sorry about that, Guru, man. I mean, it's rough, man. It's rough right now. Jerry wants to fire guys on the radio.
Yeah,
he wants to fire Bonte and Joe.
He's losing his mind down there. All right, his 82nd birthday, getting 47 scored on him. All right, what's coming up in the game brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Go to Valvoline Instant Oil Change. They're really great for your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers, batteries, and much, much more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. We're taking your questions as we're live here. We got roasters in the building. Make some noise. Niners and Chiefs.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, everybody, how's breakfast? Let's go!
Breakfast is coming. You gotta get going. It's too early.
Right. Let's give Baldy a round of applause.
Baldy's not a
real Baldy, the man.
See, when you're Brian Baldinger, you don't need a two-step. You know, you just boogie. What did Ice Cube say? Gangsters don't dance, they boogie. That's what Baldy does.
I don't exactly boogie in time or rhythm. No, it's like Rocky said, you know, he's like, I can't sing or dance, you know? That's not my thing.
Can I shout out Jax? Because by the time I went to go get food,
gone.
Jax Restaurant, they put out all these burritos. crushed, gone. I had to go healthy. I got the yogurt with the granola and the fruit. It's delicious.
And Joe never goes granola. He usually goes M&M's at this hour and Skittles.
I am the white guy. I
go straight sugar. The ADD, you got to help that, man. He's bouncing all over the walls. He's eating granola. And look, he's not going to finish
when
that plate.
When you wake up at 3:30, Baldy, you need a little kick in the pants around 9 o'clock, all right?
Not a little squirrely.
Not everybody has the discipline you have.
Look, we're going to take everybody's questions. Everybody who has a question for Baldy about the game, about anything. Baldy had asked a question. Like, I'll ask Baldy right now. Thoughts on the Golden Gate Bridge? What's your thoughts on the Golden Gate Bridge, Baldy?
I love the fact that you can rent a bike and ride it across into South Toledo. I love the fact that they never stop painting the bridge.
Yeah, that's
like, it's always under, like, it's construction like that.
Can you tell them a story a couple weeks ago about that? It kind of drove me crazy. They're always painting the damn bridge.
Yeah.
How much money are they spending on painting the bridge? Because you know it's premium paint they're spending for. They're not doing the cheap
they're
paint.
Not painting these walls here, but at the same time, there's only one bridge that looks like the Golden Gate Bridge
you
in this whole world.
You need to paint it because it has to have the Rust-Oleum to keep the fog from ruining the bridge so that it lasts forever.
You learned that for Spadoni.
That's all the
point. Well, you learned that for Spadoni. Google that one. Google that one's over here.
I mean, come on.
We had no clue.
I did do the math, though. They said that there are, I want to say it was 290,000 cars going across the Bay Bridge. Not the Golden Gate Bridge, but the Bay Bridge every single day.
But they have two layers.
Yeah, and then at $7 a pop. Let's just put it this way. We're making lots and lots and lots and lots of money to pay for infrastructure.
Well, let me say that. They charge $7 on the Bay Bridge.
Yes.
The Verrazano Bridge in New York.
How much?
$16.
$16. Wow.
$16, yeah. You got a bargain.
Do they say thank you at the end? I mean, Jesus. Wow.
Any questions you got for Baldy here? Don't forget to download the Odyssey app, 95.7 The Game, and thousands of other stations and millions of podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, great podcasts like the Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys. How about that? Baseball season? How about some baseball playoffs last night? Pretty damn good, right, Baldy? Come on.
Don't count them out.
All right, Baldy, here's the question I have for you. We're going to go rat-a-tat-tat on this one. At bat for your life, the history of baseball, this guy steps into the box and has to get a hit, and Brian Baldinger's life is on the line. Who's the guy you're going to?
I don't know. Tony Gwynn?
Wow. Tony Gwynn? Great pull.
I don't know. Pete Rose, Rod Carew, like some of the great
Williams. Tell me you knew Pete Rose.
I did not. I only met him one time in Vegas when he was signing autographs.
That was it, just a little pass.
But I was in Cincinnati a couple weeks ago, and it was the week that he had passed, you know.
Yeah.
They did a great tribute at the stadium right there, Ballpark of America, whatever they call it. But it was pretty nice, man. But, you know, like, I'm in Philly. Like, you know, our World Series was with Pete.
Yeah.
Like, he was a missing ingredient. Like, I grew up with a big red machine. You know, that Boston, you know, Cincinnati Sox, World Series 75. Like, it's, you know, I mean, you just look at the players in that series. I don't know. That was a
Johnny Bench, Joe Morgan. I mean, you had stars in that. It just studs in that series
Freddie
there.
Lynn.
So you get Freddie the Mets Lynn. And the Dodgers. Looks like the Dodgers are going to invest in the World Series. Mets look cooked. I mean, but I got Mookie Betts. I got Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, stop it.
How jealous are we as Giants fans? Giants fans are crying out loud. I mean, come on.
We're Giants fans, and this bandwagon jumper is rooting for the Dodgers.
But I'm not rooting for the Dodgers. I'm rooting for the Yankees.
Like, Ohtani's just, like, we've never seen anything like it.
Who's the Ohtani of football?
Like, you could just do it all. I mean, I was going to say McCaffrey.
Ooh, that's a good one.
He was just that good last year and the year before.
I mean, who doesn't like big-time stars, right? I don't only root for the Dodgers, trust me. I do like Mookie Betts. He's a hell of a player. You got to respect Gabe. You can't hate on him. He's a great player. But the Yankees, though. Who doesn't like
Yankees,
K-Strike sometimes, man? I'm telling you,
this
man. Fonny, I'm a sucker for it. I'm a sucker for it. I went to Yankee Stadium. These guys went back to back.
Big enough for Aaron Judge?
Like, no, they
what is that thing? Just a big piece of freaking redwood?
It's just like he's hitting stuff opposite field, 500 feet, dead center, 450. And then you got sand hitting missiles. I mean, it's just the Yankees. It's the brand. It's the pinstripes, man.
Yeah.
And so I hope we can see Dodgers and Yankees. As a baseball fan, that's what we want, right? Yankees, Dodgers. Let's see the best against the best.
Well, let me ask you. You have the NFL Network gear on. Yeah. You got the NFL Films hat on. I know the NFL is going to say they don't care. I know, because they're going to print money regardless. You think they want the Chiefs going for a three-peat here? Or do you think they want someone else to upset them?
I think they want somebody to upset them. I think they want, and not that it can be manufactured.
That's not what I'm saying. Yeah, that's not what I'm saying.
No, but I think they want somebody new. Like, and I don't think there's any Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Chiefs fatigue.
No.
But I think, you know, I think, you know, if Josh Allen and Buffalo was there, they have a fan base.
That'd be awesome.
They travel. Like, it would be unbelievable.
Baltimore.
Baltimore's got a great fan base.
You know, with Lamar's playing lights out. Like,
Green Bay.
Like, I can't stop watching Lamar, what he's doing right now.
Him and King Henry, I think. I mean, that offense could carry them.
Like, everybody, you know, like, but here's the thing. Like, everybody's, like, you know, Derrick Henry's playing in Tennessee last year. The offense line was terrible. You know, the coach is getting blown out. All these things are happening. And everybody, oh, he's done. He's 30 years old. He's done. He's so far from done. Like, that's what a Hall of Fame running back looks like.
I think he's the first ballot Hall of Famer.
No
I
doubt.
Thought that for a while.
He might go for 2,000 this year.
I was saying, like, there's certain guys I close my eyes, like, yard for my life. King Henry's on, like, one of three guys that I'm going to.
Who'll be your guy?
Like,
for a yard to go.
One yard for your
Who's
life.
Who's your guy?
I mean, like, anybody or just
it could be Earl Campbell. It could be like Eric
Walter
Dickerson.
Payton.
It could
I'll
be Marshawn Lynch.
Tomlinson.
Wow.
I'll take LT.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, nobody's going to break his record of 31 touchdowns in a season. I don't think
Priest Holmes came close.
Who?
Priest Holmes.
Priest Holmes came close. All right, but I just don't know that anybody's going to get, in today's world,
yeah, it's
that
tough.
We're going to see 31. And then just to, you know, like Derrick Henry, you know, like some of these guys, just put the ball in the end zone, just drop it and go back to the huddle, go do it again.
We have a little joke here. We call it Box Score Monte, and we will pick out certain players and go through their baseball reference page, their football reference page. Can you pull up LTs and just go through the yards per year?
Not just yards. Listen, here's what I want you, when you look at LT,
it's incredible.
He had 8 straight years of 400 touches.
I may have seen him personally.
That's
incredible. Score about 20 touchdowns, get to Raiders. I went to like 3 Raider Charger games when LT was in his prime.
Did he have 5 against the Niners? Game at Candlestick.
Yeah, Candlestick.
You know, from 1 yard line. You know, he always used to go backwards. But he learned that from Walter Payton.
But there was one game against the Raiders. The Raiders were dominating the game. And then midway through the third quarter, LT's like, just give me the ball. And he took over. And I remember I was playing against some fantasy football. I was like, oh, this is a great day. LT's finally getting shut down. Woo, get a win. You walk out the stadium, it's like, how do you score 4 touchdowns? I mean, it's unbelievable. So LT, I'm pulling up the football records.
I'm looking at everybody.
So first of all, he played 16 games for the first 9 years.
He didn't get hurt.
He didn't get hurt. So touches. I'll just go rushing attempts. 339, 372, 313, 339, 339, 348, 315, 292, 223.
That's just rushes.
Now then we go to receptions.
One season.
Yeah, no, he goes 59, 79, 100, 53, 51, 56, 60, 52, 20. I mean, everything. 18, 15, 14, 74. The guy was rushing for big yardage. Big, big yardage. So he scores 145 touchdowns. And his first Madden Hall of Famer.
He has 145 total touchdowns. Wow.
145 touchdowns, excuse me, just on the ground.
On the ground.
17 in the air.
Wow.
So I remember 1 year, Marty Schottenheimer was coaching the Chargers. And that's back when starters were playing the preseason.
Yeah.
So it's like the first preseason game. And, you know, back when you used to get the ball to 20 after a touchback. So they flip it to LT, like on a sweep, right? And he goes 80 yards in a preseason game. And he put the ball in the end zone, and he walked off the field, and he didn't touch the ball for the rest of the preseason. And Marty was like, he's good.
He's good. Marty Ball, man. I mean, six. So you asked about the total touches, finally pulled out.
Last year, Christian had over 400 touches.
Yep.
Second time in his career he's done it. And I'm not saying, but I was cautious about it last year.
You and I
talked
about
this. Like, you got to be careful. Like, there's nobody built like LT. But if you go through the history, Deuce McAllister, Sean Alexander, you go through all the list
Eddie
of guys.
Marco
Murray.
Anybody, who's the guy in Atlanta when they had the Dirty Birds?
Jamal Anderson.
He had 400 that year in 98. Like, you go through the list of anybody that's touched the ball 400 times in this league in recent history. Like, it's the fall off next year is dramatic.
Wow. Why does Adrian Peterson not get brought up in this conversation of greatest running backs of all time? Because to me, watching him in real time, I thought he was one of the best ever.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's Eric Dickerson.
Eric Dickerson.
You know, but Adrian, he came back from the ACL.
Yeah.
And then he carried the team the next year.
And he won an MVP award.
He was. I remember when we had, you remember that show at NFL Network, the top 100?
Oh, yeah.
So 1 year, he's the number one player, right? And we were filming like from 10 to 1. In the summer. It's like July 4th weekend. So I'm part of the analyst on one of the shows. So I go back, we had a green room at this old facility in LA. And Adrian Peterson is sitting in the room by himself. There's no handlers, there's no agents or anything. He's just sitting there. And I knew Adrian, so he gives you the death grip handshake.
Yeah, everyone talks
and
about
I go,
that.
Adrian, do you know what you're supposed to be doing or when you're coming on? He goes, no, nobody said anything to me. Like, he's just sitting there, like, we've got the greatest player in the league, and he's just sitting there in the green room by himself. He has no idea. Nobody's told him, like, what they're going to ask him or what it's – they didn't even know. He's just there.
Last running back to win an MVP was Adrian Peterson, 2012. And we have a sound. B, set it up.
I love this sound because –
it's my favorite.
It's one of my favorites because he kind of warned us about Mahomes. Mahomes played that last regular season game his rookie year against Denver.
Yeah.
And Alex Smith took the week off, and then they go to the playoffs and lose. And here's Adrian Peterson. Well, Spinelli, let me know when you get the thumbs up on this sound. But it's hilarious because it's AP. Here it is, Adrian Peterson on seeing Mahomes for the first time.
When I seen him throw that ball, I was like, oh, my God.
He's like, oh, my God. And he goes, later on, he goes, Alex, my friend. He's like, Alex, you in trouble. Alex, you in trouble. You know what? Alex has shipped off to Washington. Yep. Before we take some questions, I want you guys to line up and ask Baldy anything here. This is why you're here. This is awesome. We get to have Baldy in the studio. He comes in the studio. How long have you been doing this with this here at 95.70 game?
So long as you guys have been here.
Yeah, no. We've done four-hour shows
for
years here. Not six, not seven.
You know, we're all normal-sized human beings. Bonte's obviously very tall.
They call
Baldy
me the big.
Is humongous. Yeah. Is he not? Just standing down. And then Carter comes out, and I go, we've got a full offensive line.
I mean, Chris Jones is lined up over me saying, what's up, buddy? Holy call, Fonte Hill. Get him out the game here. But Baldy is still working out with Lane Johnson. This guy's still working out with athletes, all pros today, man. How do you do it?
I mean, I just, first of all, it's great to be around the guys, you know, because it's never really changed. Yeah. Like, Lane Johnson just, literally, I sit there and just tell him stories. Like I'm talking, they just want to hear the stories because I don't know that the players have the camaraderie that we had. And I don't want to bash today's players. It's just, guys are on the phones. I've been on airplanes, with these charters with teams, and nobody's talking to each other. They're on their phones or whatever. And so, back in the day, we just, broke a chair. We had a card game. The pots got big. The trash talking, kicked in. And, we sat there and played cards and drank beers the whole flight, nobody does any of that stuff now. So you tell these stories about back in the day and, Lane Johnson or Matt Pryor or, John Runyon, whatever. They kind of enjoy that stuff. But he's got a big barn in his backyard in South Jersey, and I go over there and, I got a key. I can go anytime. And I just go in there, and some guys are – you could have a UFC fighter in there working out. You never know who you're going
to
see.
What's Lane's go-to? Because you always talk about Lane. Is he an incline bench guy? Is he presses?
Let me tell you something about Lane Johnson.
What is it?
I'll
squats? Tell you
no, listen. That guy never, ever stops either working out or rehabilitating. He has this thing that stretches his toes. So he's always stretching his toes.
What?
Because his feet are so important.
I need that.
It's a cast. And it keeps his toe. And he's got these flexion boards for his ankles. Right? So he's broken six of them. He's always stretching his ankles. Or he's got some masseuse person in his living room over there. And they're doing acupuncture on him or something. But his go-to thing, honestly.
Yeah, what is it?
It's like core exercise. Like, he at 335 pounds, he can still do probably 12 or 15 pull-ups.
Wow.
He can still deadlift, 600-plus pounds for reps. So he still lifts heavy.
My guy over here is mesmerized over here. His jaw's dropped. He's right. How do I get that workout? You look like you bench four plates on each side. I mean, you're over here jaw-dropped over here. I mean, I need that ankle, that toe
stretcher. We got a big old sled in the backyard, where, the guys are, pulling these weights up the sled, or pushing dummies. It's
Baldy. Baldy, I've been working for not. I'm small. I finally got to one plate on each side, and I thought I did something. And that's a handful of reps.
Yeah.
I'm watching James Harrison, and the guy's got. It's not plates.
It's bending stacks.
Everything is bent. It looks like a toothpick.
I know.
How is this guy doing it?
That was always James. I remember one time James Harrison had just won the Defensive Player of the Year. You can look it up. I think it was whatever year, 2008 or whatever it was, and he had eight forced fumbles. So Pittsburgh's getting ready to play a playoff game. So I'm there. We're doing a feature on James Harrison. So I want him to tell me and teach me in 3 minutes the art of the sack fumble.
Yeah.
Okay? So he's telling me, so he's going through all this stuff. And he's actually pretty good. He got his PR director there. We're indoors. It's Saturday before the game. So we go through this whole thing. And he's actually pretty good about, secure the tackle, go for the punch, all this stuff. So we're getting it. But we need him to read, 15 seconds of lines, afterwards to sort of tease the piece.
Right.
So, you know, he does like one or two, and he's like, he walks off, and I'm like, I looked at my producer. I'm like, that wasn't very good. That doesn't sound like defensive player of the year. So I go, hey, James, I go, honest to God, like, I don't think that was very good. He goes, what? I go, in the PR director, he goes, he's out of here. I go, James, I know you got something better in you. Like, that wasn't a sack fumble read. Like, I need more. So he came over. He's like, what do you want me to do? I'm like, you got to give me, I need more juice. I need juice. It's game day. It's a playoff game tomorrow. So he was like, okay, whatever. And then he just animated himself up, and he got into it. And he did it.
So I'm looking at these numbers here. 07, 7 forced fumbles. 08, 7 forced fumbles.
Yeah.
2010, 6 forced fumbles. 2009, 5 forced fumbles.
Yes.
And possibly the greatest play in Super Bowl history.
Yes, of course, 100-yard interception return.
So awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was 2008 that year. And that was Kurt Warner.
Yep.
Like, you know, he thought he was...
The slant. The slant was wide open. Harrison was supposed to blitz, drops back, and he goes 100 yards.
Yeah.
It outruns Larry Fitzgerald, who had to
navigate
to the sideline. Difference in the game. Unbelievable here. Before we get everybody's questions,
come
I want
on,
you guys to
line
up.
Ask some questions.
We do have the Warriors and Lakers last preseason game. We're going to carry the game on 95-70 games. And let me shout out some employees of the year with the Golden State Warriors. Can I do that?
Employees of the year?
We know, Joe, you're never going to win it out here in 95-70 game. Don't even think about it. But Amy McCray, Candace Freer, I'm joking. He's winning an employee of the month.
See?
Candace Freer. Zach Tucker, Kari Jones, Annika Kelsey, Kyle Larkin, Nikhil Gupta, and Jason Lim. I want to give you guys credit with an employee of the year. Hopefully the Warriors take care of you. A lot of money down there at Chase Center. Hey, we're in the middle. Take care of these folks. Employees of the year. All right, get some questions here. We got Chiefs and Niners. Let's go. Where are you from? What's your name? Ask Baldy anything.
Give me your school song. Do the whole thing.
Yeah. What college are you going to?
On. All right, my name's Gray. I'm from Petaluma.
Let's go!
All right, Gray.
You can pet a donkey, you can pet a llama,
oh, gosh,
but you can't pet a luma.
All right. So bad.
It's 7-7.
I know.
I listen to you guys all the time. Great to meet you, all three of you.
Thank you.
I want to talk about Fred Warner. You guys were just talking about forced fumbles, and he's got 4 already this year. He's got 50 tackles. He's, are we watching something special? I don't know the history that well of this, and I feel like, Baldy, you could break this down well.
But you think about the first game of the year against the Jets on Monday night, and Breece Hall is breaking loose, and the ball is in his inside arm and instead of the outside arm. He catches a screen pass, and Fred sees it right away. And, like, as soon as he saw that ball in the inside arm, he balled up his fist and he punched it out. Like, he saw it. That was the third or fourth play of the game. Like, it was early in the game anyways. And, like, Fred's ability did that for whatever game it was when the guy's going in to score a touchdown.
Minnesota.
He punched it out. Like, his ability to get the ball out right now is rare. A little bit like...
Red center.
I mean,
No.
Like, right. It's
you can tell he's practicing it, and he's looking for it right now.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's slowing down enough for him to be able to see it.
He's one forced fumble behind Patrick Willis for most all-time forced fumbles in 49ers history.
All right, well, you know what? You know, Pat Willis played 8 years, and you know where he's at.
Yeah, he's in Canton,
Ohio. His ability to, like, go through all of this chaos and then somehow never lose stride, never get touched, and just knock a dude just completely sideways is uncanny.
No, he plays the game so fast. Because that's where 40-yard dash times and all the stuff they do at the combine don't register. That guy plays the game. You talk about, like, an assassin angle assassin, that's what he is. His angle are like just that.
What was the pre-draft buzz around Fred Warner?
Because he's safety.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't know anything about him. I feel like we watch a lot of college football.
Yeah,
I had never heard of Fred
Warner. His first game was in Minnesota, okay, against the Vikings. And I remember talking to John Lynch down the field before the game. And, you know, they had another guy from Alabama that was here at the time.
Yep.
And John Lynch said, he's my Mike linebacker. They knew it literally the first week.
He had the green dot helmet. We thought Reuben Foster was the future.
Wearing number 48.
Number 48. Did he punch out a feet? It's a fumble to that game, Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
I mean, I never heard of the guy.
And he's played every game since.
Yeah, I had never heard of the guy.
I don't even know if he's ever missed a practice.
Probably not.
I don't know.
I mean, just recently with the ankle injury. Let's go. I think that's my man, Don.
Good morning, everybody out there in Radio Land, 95.7. The game, the best radio station in the Bay.
Let's go. Get that drop. Cut it up.
Hey, I want to shout out, first of all, to Little Joe and Baby Chaz for putting up with you two fathers.
Thank you.
You guys are all right. You know,
Thank you.
I got 3 kids of my own. You guys are doing good with the kids.
Thank you. Baby Chaz told me recently, Baldy? She said, Papa, you watch too much football. Football's always on, whether it's video games or football. She doesn't know yet. She's in the princesses of Frozen.
She'll recognize that that's a good thing. Good parenting.
You know, I know you played in Candlestick Park. Yep. What was it like to walk into Candlestick Park for the very first time?
Great question, Don.
Two things. One, Candlestick is one of those places where you literally got – there's no underneath entrance to the stadium, like a lot of these stadiums. So you get dropped off right where the fans are. So two things, my first game there. And I'm on the bus, and I'm sitting with Randy White and John Dutton, a bunch of the defensive linemen. And I'm getting ready to walk off the bus, you know, and Randy White just grabbed, he liked me. He grabbed me by the back of the shirt, and he pulled me down. I'm like, well, what are you doing? He goes, let everything get thrown first
exactly.
before you get off the bus. So, like, all the things that were going to get tossed at players, like, okay, I got that. Then I get dressed. I'm coming out onto the field. And I'm coming out on the field. You know, you come out of that one corner,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
And, you know, the fans are kind of right there on field level. I get somebody throws me a hot dog with mustard at my uniform. Like, I got mustard dripped all over my uniform before I even get onto the field.
Baldy, my dad used to tell stories, especially in the 70s and 80s, when they would go in. Through that, because you're talking about where the team would come in.
Yep.
It'd be a cyclone fence. You could see right through it. It was just an old, gray, 20-foot tall cyclone fence, and everyone would just be firing things at the Dallas Cowboy bus, and as it would come turning in, everyone would run up to the cage and just start firing stuff. Yeah. That's what it was.
They wanted me to get out of the way of the
exactly,
firing.
Exactly. Right.
Just hold on, wait for the bus.
And then they would famously wait for you after the game.
Yeah,
and,
no doubt about
you know,
that.
See what happens then.
Candlestick Park was different, man. It was very different. Let's go. Brock Purdy, get up here.
Let's go.
Dave, City, where are you from?
Wearing a sweet
This is Jeff from Katani.
Let's go.
Rachel Katani.
I played for Katani.
Yeah, Katani. No, I played Pop Warner football against those guys. Rachel Katani, Bobcats, and Cougars. They kicked our ass 1 year. Don't
Love the show. Brian, wonderful to meet you.
Thank you.
I went to Sonoma State with Larry Allen, talking about the most strongest individuals I've ever seen in my life. And we had some wild stories going to...
What was the weight room like there?
Oh, it was crazy.
Was it?
This man could... bench press like 650 pounds.
Oh yeah,
without
700.
A problem.
My God!
Yeah.
So when he was up there, did you guys know like this guy? What was he like walking around campus? Was he the man on campus where people just?
Oh, absolutely.
Him?
But we would go to different. There's like Holiday Bar, which was in Petaluma, and walking with Larry was like you had a soldier with you. Pretty much.
Oh my God!
A guy bumped me.
Bodyguard.
We were dancing, bumped me. Larry picks him up by the back of the neck.
Yeah.
He goes, "You'll buy everyone drinks." I was like, yes, I will.
That is great.
So food was free. If you
absolutely. I knew three of the guards on the team, offensive linemen and defense. We all hung out. So I played baseball with Sonoma State. So, Baldy, I was telling my wife, Heidi, who I brought.
Hi. What's up, Heidi?
About all the concerts we go to. We go to a lot of rock concerts.
Okay, cool.
And you say you never paid for a concert. You to. And I was trying to tell my wife, was it Bruce Springsteen or Rolling Stones? Who was your favorite act you've ever seen?
So I've been to both, and I've seen 150 Bruce shows. They actually gave me a tour pass for Europe 1 year. Me and my brothers and my friends, we went to like six shows. But my all-time favorite, and I didn't pay for this one either, was U2. It was in Dusseldorf, Germany, and the day before, they played the World Bowl, which was the NFL Europe, like Super Bowl, right? So we just happened, so that was on a Saturday, so Sunday, U2 is playing. So we want to go to U2, and I knew a guy, Jake Berry. I kind of knew him, but he's from Jersey, and he was a tour manager. So in order to get into the stadium, there was like 10 layers of security to be able to even get to the tour manager's office. Somehow we get through all these different layers of security, and Jake is watching a NASCAR race on a TV, and somebody says, hey, there's a guy, Brian Baldinger, here to see you, Jake. And you go, who are you? And I go, my name is Brian, I'm friends with so-and-so. Who are you friends with? I didn't want to drop the name. So I go, well, I'm from Jersey. I was here yesterday. You're looking for free tickets? I go, well, yeah, sort of. He goes, get out of here, right? So he didn't want nothing to do with me. So I didn't know that when I walked back out, the security walks me out of the office, and there was a place where all of the workers had their dinner, and it was all set up. So I just sat down, like I thought it was outside the stadium, and I didn't know that that area was actually in the stadium, and the security just let me go, and we were still thinking how to get in. We sat in these seats with free beer on the side of the stage for the best show I think I've ever seen. Yeah. So I kind of worked my way into that one.
Unbelievable.
That's next level.
Unbelievable.
That's next level. Great question.
Yeah.
Got one more? You got a quick one?
Niners will win. 31-13. He'll move the season.
31-13?
Absolutely. And when the Niners win the Super Bowl, Steph Curry will also win his fifth championship.
Let's go!
I love this.
Hey, well, Steph Curry wins the championship. They always say there's TV Bonte, radio Bonte.
See if Matt Mahomes has ever lost a game 31-13.
Yeah, I don't think it happened.
Doesn't sound right.
I'm not even going to.
Hey, there's always a
right.
first.
But you know what?
First.
I don't mind a long Warrior playoff run. That means playoff checks, Chasky. Okay. Come on
now. Okay. Great call.
Let's go. Great questions, Derek. Heidi, you got a good one here. Got a good one.
Kenyon from San Francisco, California.
Let's go.
The pride of Wallenberg High School.
Wallenberg, there we go.
There we go. Yeah. All right.
Born and raised Bayview District.
Let's go.
So it's been a lot of talk about this Chiefs defense. They saying they overrated or underrated. I personally think they're a little overrated. I feel the past two games they played, the Chargers with no receivers.
Saints.
Yep. Beat up.
Yep.
They played the Ravens week one. Lamar did good. We know as the Niners, we need to run the ball to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, who worries me is Chris Jones.
Yeah, of course.
What are some ways that we could scheme to combat Chris Jones?
Well, it's not just Chris. Like, they've got the three. They've got a big linebacker core, Kenyon. So, they have Drew Tranquil, Nick Bolton, and Leo Chenal. So Leo Chenal is 255 pounds. Like, they'll put three linebackers on the field with Chris Jones and all the guys, Travell Wharton, all these guys up front. And literally, they'll play big man football, anticipating the run. And so, they're going to come and smash, like, all their double teams and movement and stuff. Like, that's their game plan, I think. I think you'll see three linebackers on the field. Maybe Kyle counters by not putting his tight ends out there and spreading them out, maybe not putting Juszczyk on the field. Like, they might counter that, because if you don't put two tight ends or a fullback and a tight end out there, they're not going to put those three linebackers out there. But that's what they did to Lamar in the AFC Championship game. Like, they took the run away from him by putting those linebackers. And Baltimore just got worried about it. They started throwing the ball.
They ran eight times in that game or whatever.
Exactly.
It was.
Yes. It wasn't enough.
No, it wasn't enough.
Very
I'm with
bizarre.
Them. I think they still need to run the ball, but can you get those linebackers exposed in space via the pass game?
Well, Leo Chenal is basically a stout defensive end playing linebacker.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, there's ways to put him in coverage, for sure. I'm sure that's one of the things that, if you see him out there, but he's a good football player, like, and he runs okay, but he can't run with, like, you know, Jordan Mason or Juszczyk out of the backfield.
What about the secondary matchup? Great question, kid. Great question there. What about the secondary matchup with these wide receivers? Because at some point, Brock Purdy's going to have to make throws, which he's done over the course of his career. I don't really worry about Brock Purdy. And I think he had a solid Super Bowl personally, but obviously the conversation was getting off of sticky man coverage, which the Niners couldn't do.
They put a lot of man coverage in the Super
right.
Bowl, which was a departure
right.
from what they had done.
Yeah, they went up. Shanahan spoke on that earlier this week. He said they went 35% man in that Super Bowl as opposed to 20% leading up to that game.
Yeah, well, I mean, and so they wanted to challenge the receivers and get, you know, extra personnel to come to, you know, get after the quarterback. And look, all the way to the end, it kind of worked. So I don't know if Kansas City does the same thing, but you had, you know, L.J. Snead, you had, you know, yep. McDuffie, Jalen Watson, you had guys that could man up. And you don't have to cover them all the way down the field. You just have to be sticky on them when Brock is looking at
you. Anybody else have any questions? Any one-offs?
Rat-a-tat-tat-em?
Because we're coming up against it.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. It's Oscar from South City.
Let's go.
South City, baby.
Orange Park?
Nah.
West Park?
That's the only part that's South City.
I was just there last week.
Nah, but quick shout out to you guys. Listen to you guys every morning.
Thank
to Tony.
Yeah.
Listen to his show as well. Baldy, it's an honor to meet
Thank you.
Shout out to my brother, DJ97, and my boy, Melly Mel, out there. But a quick question. Sorry. last year, the game that was circled for the Niners was the rematch between Philadelphia Eagles.
Yep.
Obviously.
They scored six straight times in a row.
Well, they went into that game 10-1, I believe. And then
yep.
there were. Would you consider this game to be similar to that matchup as last year, where they laid out the blueprint? Because after that, Philadelphia went on a run where they kind of
they couldn't do anything.
It was like a downfall in
the sense. They collapsed after that.
And I know the Chiefs are undefeated right now, but
it could put two teams in different directions. It's possible. The Chiefs, I think. Look, I don't know how they did beat the Saints, and the Saints obviously gave up 50 last week. They're just a terrible team right now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh!
It's not just the injuries, but guys like DeMario Davis, who have led that team in tackles for years, like he's invisible right now.
Yeah.
So they're just broken up front right now, and the injuries. But regardless, like I feel like San Francisco, if they win this game, it could be, you know, it could be their denouement. You know, that point in the story where the ending gets revealed. It could flip the season.
I like that term.
Yeah, I mean, it's a term.
I love that.
How about that? Still that one.
The Avengers coming together is what you're saying. Let's go.
Rick from Oakland.
Let's go.
What's up, baby? Question for you, Brian. Who did you hate to see coming? Who would get the best of you?
So they had this guy named Jumpy Gathers. Played in Washington. Yeah. Look him up. Uh-huh. He literally had a forklift. His move was the forklift. So what he would do is, like, if you're playing guard and he was lining up over you, he'd throw you a hook like it's a rip move, right? And then he would, like, literally club you, and he would literally take almost everybody off their feet and walk them back to the quarterback. And all you wanted was to be able to go through the day and not get forklifted.
Wow. Like, you
didn't care if you won the game or lost the game when Jumpy was playing. You just didn't want to get forklifted.
I remember him with the Falcons, and I looked up his Pro Football Reference, New Orleans Saints.
He was in Denver, too?
Finished his career in Denver, 36 years old, 3 years in Atlanta, had 3 years in Washington, won the Super Bowl with Washington and Joe Gibbs in 91 when they beat the Bills, Mark Rippon, and then, of course, started his career with the Dome Patrol in New Orleans.
Yep. Now, Jumpy was that man's power. Him and Eric Swan. Like, I still
Eric
have a Kippy. Never played college football.
Wow.
Like, he was a 19-year-old freak. I'll never forget, we played him opening day 1 year, and Eric Swan, like, I'm running a screen, and Swanee, like, dove, like, down the field, dirty as hell, like, dove into the back of my leg. My leg, it still swells all the time because of Swanee. But, like, literally, the day after you played Eric Swan, you couldn't open up, turn a doorknob. Your hands were so beat up from just grabbing him and trying to hold on to him. He was, literally a man-child.
There goes your love life.
So, as a player, real quick, as a player, Vali's doing pretty well, I think. Yeah. That's what the streets say. Were you getting ready for these guys, though? All week long, are you just thinking about that? Is it tough to focus on the game? Like, I got to go against Jumpy Gathers. Oh, gosh. Eric Swan. You're counting down the days.
Well, you're sitting in the film room, you know, and you're sitting with your group, right, and you're watching Jumpy, you know, take Mark Schlereth, you know, into the nickel. You know, like, that ain't all you're thinking, like, we're all laughing. It's like when we watch Reggie White just throw guys off the screen and hump move guys. Like, we're like, I don't want that to happen to me. Like,
so when you reviewed the film, what was the funniest thing, like, the day after, that everybody made fun of you for? Was there a particular play?
I was playing in Dallas one time, and they had a safety for the Giants. We're playing the Giants. I got all my friends and family and stuff at Giants Stadium, and I hit this safety from Clemson for the Giants, like, literally 10 seconds after the play. I just came running, like, I'm just blinded. The play's over, and I just speared him, and I sent him flying. The flags, everybody threw a flag. And next thing I know, Landry's, like, pulling me out of the game. And it was just like, people still see that hit on social media. It was so late, and it was so stupid, you know, but, like, that was not a good play.
One more, Rick, go ahead.
Earlier you mentioned with your life on the line, you would go with Joe Montana if you had one guy to pick. Do you see that in Purdy? I haven't seen that in him yet, to bring his team from behind. If they get behind against Kansas City, you know.
I like to have seen the right guard hold up on the final play in overtime and let him get the ball to Ayuk, and maybe it's a different game. I think they were down 17 to Detroit. How much were they down? 17?
24-7.
Yes.
24-17. He brought him back to beat the Lions. Like, he's brought him back now more times than people probably think.
Okay.
Green Bay Packers as well. Green Bay Packers in the rain as well. Yep. Good questions, Rick. Let's get a couple more here, then we'll get the Fast Five. Spadoni, let's do Fast Five. Let's hit Fast Five. Your questions will be part of Fast Five. We'll have our final thoughts as well.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Name, city, where you from? Ask Baldy anything.
Okay, from San Lorenzo. Real quick, couple things. I'm a big fan of you guys. Listen to you guys every morning. Baldy, can't wait for the breakdowns to come out every week.
All right.
I'm a big fan. I'm not a homer. I can critique my team when I need to.
Yep.
What is it that's going on in the red zone? What are we doing why aren't we running the ball in the red zone?
Well, that's what you want to do. You want to be able to run it. Like, you know, they're running it everywhere else with Garendo and Mason this year. I can't speak. Like, it's always different. It's never just one thing that shows up all the time. But you're not. But McCaffrey was just so special in that part of the field. He had power. He had the ability to Find a crease, develop a crease, make a crease, and then finish it. I mean, they don't have that. It's not against Jordan. Like, he's still a great back, but McCaffrey was special in that part of the field.
12 of 27 in the red zone. Some may say they're running it too much or being too predictable on first down in the red zone, Sasky.
I just need to score touchdowns. I'm going to look for this Brian Baldinger late hit on YouTube for the next week.
Terry Kinnard.
While I eat my Jack's food, give a shout out one last time for Jack's Restaurant.
Shout out Jack's Restaurant.
Shout out Jack's Restaurant.
San Bruno, Pleasant Hill, they're in San Jose, they're all over the place, and they have a special cantina that's opening. Special cantina, don't tell anybody, special cantina. Zucci Mang, what's happening? Get up here.
Zucci Mang from the Hayward University.
Let's go.
Best question for you, and you can't, if you're on the payroll, you don't have to answer. Can you explain the Madden curse to me?
So
that's a great question.
Who's on the cover? Was it McCaffrey?
McCaffrey's on the cover.
I think it's happened to everybody. I don't think anybody escaped it.
Except Mahomes.
Mahomes escaped it.
Yeah.
Okay. Josh Allen a little bit. Yeah.
But they didn't win it all.
But Peyton Hillis got cursed.
I know.
Michael Vick, Marshall Faulk, Vince Young, Steve McNair,
Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable.
You want the publicity, you just don't want that much publicity.
You don't want the cover. Yeah, you don't want the cover. Say no to the cover. Anything else? Spadoni, get in here. Spadoni, you did a great job on the board. Give us your final thoughts, Spadoni.
My final thought is Tom Brady is now a Las Vegas Raider.
If you would have told
me that 20 years ago, I would have fallen over in my chair.
Spadoni's best quarterback since Gannon?
Yes.
Spadoni's happy that Tom Brady is now an official member of the Las Vegas Raiders. We didn't get into that.
No.
How's he going to broadcast? He can't get on the field. He can't go to promotion meetings.
I want to see if he's on the field Sunday. When I'm down there, I want to see if he's there. I mean, if he talks to me, is that considered like tampering?
That's a great question.
Baldy, man. Awesome time,
you're
man.
Baldy, man. Man.
Give it up for Brian Baldinger. Give it up for Baldy, man. And give it up to you guys.
Thank you guys for all coming down
Absolutely.
Here. We love
Good
you
stuff.
Guys. Without you guys, we don't have a station. We mean that from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you guys.
Good stuff, everybody. That was outside.
To stadium on Sunday.
Let's go.
Absolutely. Chiefs Niners, who finally made it, folks. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday when we're breaking down this
Niners.
Game. That was Fast Five. Brought to you by Xfinity at Home. We're on the go. Look at the fastest internet to all of your devices.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.